Of course, today we come together to celebrate motherhood, to celebrate mothers, because we found out that, you know, in the very beginning, back whenever everything was perfect, well, almost everything was perfect, God created everything and said that it's good, including mankind in his own image, and he said it's good. You know, and it's awesome because God chose to create us in a very, very unique way from the rest of creation. You know, God spoke and created everything that you see. The entire universe and all of its vastness. You know, the earth that we live on and we're so blessed to live by. I mean, the more and more that we explore space, the more and more we realize just how blessed we are by the unique balance that our life, you know, hangs within. And really, and you know, obviously in my opinion, that just points to the lordship of our sovereign God who holds everything in that perfect balance. But we chose to create mankind. He stepped down into the earth that he created and he got his hands dirty. Right, he got muddy. He formed mankind out of the dust of the earth, out of the mud that was on the ground. And of course, he personally breathed his breath of life into his nostrils. You know, just I can only imagine what it would have been like when God created mankind. He chose to create us in a personal and a unique way. And God called everything that he created good, but as time went on, God said, you know what, this isn't good. One thing he said is not good, and that was that Adam, the man that he created, was alone. He was all by himself. It's not good for a man to be alone. And, of course, that statement still rings true today. Even though we live in the post, you know, Eve days, it's not good for a man to be alone. Because, man, if they're left on their own, well, just look at some of the things that might happen here. And, I mean, amazing thing is how many of those videos you can find online. It's just amazing what men do when they're left to their own. And the interesting thing is, how many ladies did you hear laughing at those guys on those videos, you know? I don't understand, but the reality is, and every one of us men have been there. You've done something, and you look back, and you're like, what was I thinking? You knew what was going to happen. You just, yeah, my wife reminds me of that. What were you thinking? You weren't. That was the point. You weren't thinking. You did not think that one through. But God says it's not good for man to be alone. He saw all this stuff happening, and he's like, it's not good. I gotta help that guy out. He needs some help here. But until we come to fully understand and realize that truth, that God said it's not good for man to be alone, we're never going to truly appreciate and value women. You know, the female of the male kind, and value them for what they are certainly worthy of and deserving of. So today we celebrate you, the many, many strong women among us. And I'm telling you, here at New Hope, we've been blessed with some strong, strong women. I see a lot of guys nodding and amening here, you know. Like it or hate it, I know we buck horns pretty often, but we've got some strong women, and we should praise God for that, you know, because I'll tell you what, they often hold this church and hold our families together, you know, especially whenever we screw up or we become weak. You know, it's good to have someone that you can fall on and rely on. I mean, look at Jan and Dell, you know, everything she's doing to hold their family together. And I go on and on and on about every single one of you, you know. I know May keeps those Ramer boys in line and keeps them going, keeps that business going, you know. I mean, yeah, every one of you is just a blessing. But after all, where else? You know, whenever you read the through the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs talks about wisdom, right? Wisdom is always referred to by the pronoun she. It's a feminine possession. Because, I mean, without women, where else would we get awesome wisdom like this? Yeah, most of us can, the sad thing is not only relate to those quotes, but then you grow up and you're a parent, and most of your mothers out there, you hear your own mother coming out of your mouth sometimes, right? You know? It happens. Just a reality. But yeah, where would we get wisdom like that if it wasn't for mothers? So we praise God for them this morning, you know. And I know sometimes those words like, you know, just wait till you have kids, you know, I hope you have a kid just like you, that might bring sort of a sour tone, you know, at this point in your life. That's one of the most painful things in life is looking at your kids and being disgusted by their behavior, but realizing that you're kind of looking in a mirror because they're doing exactly what you do, saying exactly what you say. And it's also nice when you see it from the outside, you know. But motherhood, we're so thankful for it. God knew what he was doing when he gave us mothers and awesome God-fearing wives as well. You know, our hope this morning is not that this word would bring a discouragement to you, but rather the word that's about to come forth would be an encouraging one to you, to give you hope, you know, and to kind of take a little pressure off of the, you know, many pressures of motherhood. And of course, you know, that's not something that ends when your kids grow up and move out of the house, all right? You'll always, always, always be a mom. Your responsibilities are very heavy ones that the Lord has given you. And I'm sure that you often face, you know, discouragement, fear, and even just outright weariness. You know, I remember whenever our kids are toddlers, you know, we feel like we're just screwing them up, you know. What are we doing? We're failures, you know. You feel like that sometimes. And this morning, I feel like the Lord just wants to encourage you if you're in that place and to give you hope for when you find yourself there, because you know it's coming at some point. Jesus, of course, is here to strengthen us, to encourage us, and of course, just to love on us as we serve him, especially you moms, as you serve him and all those duties he's given you. And what I love about God's word is that it simplifies things often. You know, whenever mankind gets involved, we tear it apart and we make it all complicated, but God's word in and of itself, very, very simple, very straightforward. And one of the primary responsibilities that everything, all the task list can be summarized up as, God has given us in the book of Proverbs, you know, for all women of God, and especially those who are mothers. And that comes from this, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. And it says this, "The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears her down." And of course, I know that y'all don't want to be ones that tear your house down. So the word of God is always a double-edged sword. There's always a hopeful side and always a discouraging side. We're going to focus this morning on the hopeful side. Because as in the kingdom of God, with most everything, there's no fences to teeter on. There's no blade to kind of balance on like a ballerina. There's one or the other. You're either doing this or you're doing that. And, you know, whenever it comes to this wisdom that we've received in the book of Proverbs, it says that a woman of God is doing either one of the two things. They're either building their house with their own hands, or they're tearing down their house with their own two hands. And I know no one here wants to be a tearer downer. What would you even call that? A demo specialist, you know? Us guys, we love demolishing things, you know? It's just that fire fired me up, you know? But the word here in the Hebrew that is used for the word house, either building up her house or tearing down her house, it has far more to do with just the household itself, you know, as we think of motherhood. The Hebrew here, the word that's used, and you'll forget my pronunciation, but it's baith. And it's far more inclusive than just the four walls of the house. It's far more inclusive than just the house itself, where where this wise woman dwells. But it also includes the family in all of its various affairs. I mean, the entire household affairs. You know, we often, you know, I know whenever I sit down and do premarital counseling, we divvy up the responsibilities of the household, you know. But the women have a pretty heavy responsibility when it comes to matters of the household, of the, you know, the affairs of the house. Of course, you know, these are all areas that we want to be building in. Because, of course, it's God's will that women be wise builders when it comes to all issues of their household, you know, and always building them up, always encouraging them to be ever reaching toward the goal that God has called us into, the full potential that God has created within our households. And that would be whether, you know, it's the area of finances, you know, how money is spent, the overall health of the family. I love frugal women, you know. Pinterest, there's a lot of women out there that have some pretty awesome ideas of how to reuse things and how to, you know, have that widow's oil anointing where you make a little, you know, a lot out of a little. And women seem to carry that kind of wisdom and that gifting of God. It's amazing. But to be building up their families, whether it's the areas of finances or the overall health of the family, make sure eating well and, you know, exercising and not just sitting around playing video games, right, Nate? You know, his mom's always on him about that, you know, get outside, right? When I was a kid, my mom was always like, get inside, it's dark, you know, right? I don't know, I don't get it, this generation, but anyways. Or the scheduling of a very, very full calendar. I mean, that's something that moms have to juggle big time these days. It just the stresses of getting everybody everywhere that they need to be, making sure everything's taken care of. You know, the quality of relationships, whether it be inside the family, they're peacemakers more often than not, you know. Although all the dad usually has to do is say, hey, cut it out, you know, and things seem to calm down. I don't know. Yeah, there's something about that. Wait till your dad gets home. But also the quality of relationships outside the family, especially when you enter teen years with dating and whatnot, you know. And, man, they're talking about dating way younger than I ever did. We got third graders now that are, you know, boy asked my daughter to the dance. Of course, he asked me first. That meant a lot. That meant a lot, you know. But have a little third grader come, and he was scared to death, you know. I wouldn't be surprised if he peed his pants, you know. It's like Mr. Cromer, I have a question for you, you know. It was cute, but it scared me to death, you know. What's to come? The overall cleanliness of everyone, the clothes that they're wearing, you know. I know I get in trouble because I send the kids off to school, and then Becky comes home. She's like, what are they wearing? What is wrong with you? The never-ending piles of dishes and clothes and clutter just never, ever, ever seems to end in the household. Keeping everyone and the pets all, I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. All those responsibilities. Everything that is all-inclusive of what Solomon wrote there when he said, you know, that a wise woman builds her house. It's far more than literally grabbing some 2x4s and nails, you know. He meant the household overall, the overall health. And so a wise woman's job, it's never, ever, ever ending. The task list goes on and on and on because there's always an area that needs building. There's always an area that needs improvement. There's always something that needs to be done, and that can become very, very overwhelming. Because it's not like, you know, I know Doug is talking to me this morning, you know, it's not like, you know, guys, we go out, we mow the grass, and it's mowed. Yeah, it's going to grow up again, you know, in a week or, you know, however long it feels like growing up some days, you know, but you can look back and you see a job done. You know, you go out to build a chicken coop and it's built. It's a finished project, you know, but when it comes to a household, it's never really finished. There's always something to be done, and that can be so overwhelming at times. You know, and so if you were to stop and to begin thinking about all those tasks and the heavy responsibility that God has given, you know, to a woman, it can be, you know, very overwhelming and very discouraging. I mean, it can overwhelm you to a point of depression where you feel like just giving up very, very quickly. I can understand that. Some of the areas that you feel like you spend most of your resources building and building and building feels like it just keeps falling apart, you know, and I'm sure a lot of guys can relate to those situations as well. But this morning I feel like the Lord is here to strengthen and to encourage us, because the task before us that God has given us, it is not our task alone. And I feel weird saying our because this is a Mother's Day message. I'm sorry. You have to bear with me. But this morning I feel like the Lord is here to encourage, because teamed up with Jesus, right? All things are possible. Jesus said what? Take my yoke upon me, for my burden is light and my yoke is easy. To be teamed up with him. Literally, side by side. Because that's how God created woman, right? He created woman out of Adam's rib to be his helper, to go through life side by side. Jesus said that whenever they marry, they leave their mother and father, and they come to cleave together as one, to become one flesh. And that's not just a sexual, physical thing. That is literally you start working together as one. You know, but praise be to God, it isn't just man and woman. Because what did Paul say? That marriage is a symbolic representation of our relationship with Christ. Jesus wants, remember we talked in John 17, his prayer for us is that you, women of God, would be one with Jesus even as he and the Father are one. That you would not be doing these things alone, but you'd be doing them with him. That you guys would actually be cooperating, yoked together through life, you know, building up your household into all that it can be. Because Jesus sees the potential in your family. He sees your frustrations, and your frustrations usually come from seeing that potential that's not reached. But he's going to team up with you, and he's going to help you to perform all those tasks. And knowing that, you know, instead of looking ahead at all the uncertainties and all the fears that could await you in the future, this is the only time you're ever going to hear me preach this from this pulpit. You have the divine opportunity to look back and to actually see how far you've come. And that's what I love about Mother's Day, you know. You start breaking out some of the toddler pictures of the kids, you know, and you start seeing them, you know, at their very first game. You know, and you start, wow, they really have come a far way. They really have improved. You've actually accomplished something. You have actually built something. You know, I know we even see like old pictures of our house of what it used to look like when we first moved in. We're like, whoa, we think there's areas that we need to work on now. You forgot about that. You forget about those things. And I feel that milestones like Mother's Day is a good opportunity for you, woman of God, to look back on your life and to see how far you've come, how much you have matured, how much the Lord has done in and through your life. You know, I mean, some of us look back and we're a shame person we used to be, you know, and that's actually a good thing. Don't be discouraged about it. Be encouraged. You've grown so much and come so far. You are blessed because that's what you've been. You've been building. You've been building. You've been building. You're a wise woman according to the Word of God because you've been building your family. It's better than it used to be. You know, you've been richly blessed for your tireless efforts, and you will be even richly rewarded when you stand before Christ Jesus. When he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with little things. Now he's going to give you greater things. Sure, tomorrow holds many, many unknowns and uncertainties. Jesus is well aware of that. In fact, he said in Matthew 6, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow's going to what? It's going to bring enough worries of its own. That's the word of God. Jesus knows that. What he doesn't want you to do is to fear tomorrow. In fact, he doesn't really want you being, you know, consumed by tomorrow and what it may possibly bring. Because guess what? Jesus, he's going to be there tomorrow. And he already knows what's coming. You don't. That's why you fear, because of the uncertainties. But with Jesus, who you're teamed up with, everything's certain. He knows what awaits you tomorrow. And what he's doing in your life is preparing you for when that day comes. You're never alone, and you're never going to be unfulfilled and on your own when you face it. When tomorrow comes, you won't face it alone. And guess what? God's word promises that you'll have just the right amount of grace and strength to face it when it does come. You'll have everything that you need when the time comes for that need. Because God will never lead you into circumstances that he doesn't have a blueprint for. Right? He knows what's coming. Oh, man, where am I at here? Sorry. I lost my PowerPoint. Sorry. Boom, 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 boom. Devin, can you get me back up and running? I'm sorry. Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. I lost my projector in the back, so I can't see what's happening behind me. It's a mysterious feeling. Is that it? Oh, man. Okay. Anyways, gotta love when technology, you know, lets you down. There's a cool blueprint there. Anyways, God will never lead you into circumstances he doesn't already have a blueprint for. He has a plan for it. He knew it was coming. In fact, God's word promises in Romans chapter 8 that what he's working all things together. How cool is that? You see what is unfinished. Jesus sees the finished product and the progress that you're making toward that. To you, it looks like your life is falling apart. But to Jesus, he's like, no, it's falling into place. I'm working it out, right? You know, I love that about him. God will never lead you into circumstances that he has not already provided all the building materials that you need. He has promised that you have everything that you need. He's provided all the lumber, the concrete, you know, the rebar. He's got it all prepared for you, you know. All these things that you've been doing that have felt so meaningless, they were all training and preparation, giving you the materials you need to face tomorrow. You know, he's just that good. And he will never lead you into circumstances without a team around you to help you build. You were never called to build alone. That's why I know it's been like 3 weeks now, but we started that message series together, that act of the Holy Spirit bringing us together. Believe it or not, you're not here on accident. There are actually women who have gone ahead of you, who have dealt with that before, who have overcome it. They tried it 10 different ways and failed. Why try the 10 same ways that they tried and failed and not just lean on them and learn how to do it successfully? You have each other to lean on each other. If for nothing else, just to pray for each other. You know, while your toddler's screaming in the background and dogs are barking and dishes are building up, like, hey, I need you to pray for me. It's okay. We're family. Everyone's been there and dealt with that and felt that way. Don't be ashamed of it. Call on each other. Call on each other. Be together. You have a team around you to help you build your household. You're not in it alone. But what is the defining difference between a wise woman who builds her house and the foolish woman who tears down her house with the same two hands that God gave you to build with? What is the difference? Well, Jesus gave us that answer, as he always does give us the answer to that, in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, he said this, therefore, and you've probably heard this 100 times before, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise, we're going to say woman, who built her house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish woman who built her house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Notice the exact same circumstances. And it fell with a great crash. And so we see here the defining difference between a wise and foolish builder, a wise woman who builds her house with her own two hands, and a foolish woman who tears down her house with her own two hands, is what you're building on. That's the only difference. You see, most people, and of course most women, feel like a failure when the winds come, the storms beat down, and your house looks like it's in shambles. When you're in the midst of those storms, you feel like a failure because you're experiencing a storm of life. Well, that's not what the Word of God teaches by any means. In fact, it says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. I wish I could promise. We could pack this place if I preached something other than the gospel. That, man, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, life is peachy. He just wants you to be blessed, blessed, blessed. He just wants you to prosper, prosper, prosper in every single way. You're never going to experience any troubles. But that's not what the Word of God teaches. And it's not what you're going to experience. You're going to experience the same things that the foolish woman. Your house is going to get beat on. I'm sorry. I wish I could tell you something different. But you've got an enemy that does not sleep and does not rest. And the only difference between whether your family stands or falls, whether you're building or whether you're tearing it apart, is Jesus Christ. Are you building your family on the rock or on the sand? Because I'm telling you, we've all sang the Sunday school song, you know, "All Other Ground is Sinking Sand." Actually, that's not even a Sunday school song. That's a hymn, isn't it? Yeah, I'm sorry. My house is built on nothing. Yeah. Wow. The solid rock. That's the difference. So are you being a wise woman or a foolish woman? Are you being a wise builder or a foolish builder? Man, if you're training up your kids in the Lord, man, if you're encouraging your husband to stay in the Lord, if troubles come and you're crying out to the Lord, you're wise. Regardless of what happens to you, regardless of what falls apart, if you're standing firmly on the rock, you're a wise woman. If in the midst of those winds beating against your family, if something gets torn off, guess what? It's just a pruning process. It's just getting rid of that stuff that's dying in your life, right? Like this, you know, one didn't survive. You know, it's just getting rid of that dead weight. Because you can try and try and try to take a dead twig and nurse it back to life. You can spend your entire life, all of your resources, trying to build that, you know, back into a flourishing tree. But if it's a dead twig, it's never going to happen. And so the Lord loves us enough just to cut off that dead weight. So when the Lord, remember Job? He fell down on his face in worship. What did he say about the Lord? The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Blessed be his name. You know, when the Lord strips something away from your family and you've done everything that you could to build it, just praise the Lord who is worthy because he has something better in store. He's going to either replace it with something, you know, better, or he's going to grow some other area of your life that he could never grow if that dead weight remained. You're a wise builder if you're building on Jesus Christ. And I love it because Jesus didn't say that the wise builder is the one that builds, where it will be sheltered. Where it will never face troubles. Don't we do that? Especially with our kids growing up. We want to shelter them. And we feel like that is what God has called us to do. Show it to me in the Word of God. Rather, God has called us to train our children. Training means you let them face some troubles. Sometimes you even let them carry them on their own. That means sometimes they face situations that you don't want your kids to face, but they're trained by them. Then when they're an adult, you know they're going to face those same situations when they grow up, right? If you keep your kid in a bubble and in a cave until they reach adulthood, someday you got to open that cave door. They're going to face them. Isn't it awesome that the Lord has given us the teenage adolescent years as training ground? That you let them out a little bit. You let them face those things that you don't want them facing, but you're there to be their refuge and their strength and their covering when they're hurt and wounded by them. And they learn what is good and the path that they're to follow and what they got to stay away from. Because, man, every rose has its thorn, right? Every rose. I'm sorry. Yeah, anyways. So, woman of God, don't listen to the lie of Satan dragging you down and tearing you apart because of the troubles that your household faces. Because he's going to whisper in your ear, failure. Can you, you know, it's this bad now. Can you imagine what's going to happen tomorrow? Think about how much worse it can get. The enemy loves to whisper those things in your ear. That's not the voice of truth. That's not the word of God. Because listen to the voice of Jesus, who says, you are wise. You are building your family. Jesus, who says that your household, yes, it's going to face raging storms. It's going to face troubles. It's going to face difficulties. But you're not a failure. Why? Because after it all, your family is still standing firm on the rock. That's the defining moment. Is your family standing firm in Jesus Christ? Or are they over there in the sand sinking away, wondering what's happening? Because the more they try to dig themselves out, the deeper they get. It's never too late, moms. Right? What did David say in Psalm 40? That the Lord lifted me up out of the miry muck and set my feet on a rock. Put a new song of praise in my mouth. Woman of God, believe that he will do that for your family. I don't care how old your children are, it is never too late for them to stand firmly on the rock whom you're standing on. But that's the key. Before you can lift someone out of muck and mire and sand, you got to keep your feet firmly planted or you're just going to drown together. That's a big responsibility, but it's possible. So don't let Satan shame you into hiding your trouble, the troubles of your household. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to pretend that everything's great and peachy and rosy. Don't reach out for prayer from your church family because we don't need to bother them with that. I mean, we'll get through it. We'll find a way. We'll work through it, right? So Satan wants you to do. What does God want you to do? He actually wants you to boast in your weaknesses, in your troubles, in your hardships, in your persecutions. He wants you to boast in them. To boast in them. And it doesn't make any sense. I'm going to just be honest with you. It doesn't seem like a wise thing to do. But when you boast in those things to your brothers and especially your sisters in Christ with each other, you've built up a team around you who can stand with you and keep you standing on that rock, right? Even Moses needed someone to come alongside him to help hold his arms up because he got tired and he got weak. Woman of God, you need two strong women on either side of you to help you standing on the rock when you feel your feet starting to slip. Don't be ashamed of it. Praise God that he's revealing that to you. And go to someone. Because whenever you do that, that's when two or more are gathered, who's right there? Jesus. You find your strength. You find your courage. That's what encouragement is all about, is giving someone courage. You find your courage to move on, to move forward, to stand firmly in Christ Jesus. And I love it because it's actually the hidden testimony. That testimony, powerful, life-transforming testimony of God, it is hidden in your troubles. That's why Satan wants you to keep quiet about it. He wants you to keep quiet about the troubles you're facing, the emotions that are raging within you. He wants to shame you to keep you quiet about them, because if you start sharing them, they become a testimony. Because the minute you share them, God can begin to start working, right? He's sovereign, and he loves us that much. He will never strip something out of our hands. And so, woman of God, as long as you hold on to it, like, who's that, Spiegel in Lord of the Rings, you know, with his precious, you know, as long as you hold on to it, that's what it does. You transform from that beautiful, lovely, hairy-footed, what's their names, the little guys, hobbits, into that nasty beast of a creature that eats fish raw, you know, and I love sushi, by the way. Anyways, so, but that's what happens when you hang on to it. The Bible calls that a stronghold. Starts out as a foothold, when you can put on that Christian-y face and still keep smiling even though you're falling apart inside. That's a foothold. And then the enemy turns it into a stronghold where it transforms you from the inside out. Death. That's not God's will for you. And that's the reason that Satan wants you to hold on to that and to keep it hidden. Because as long as you do that, you'll never be free of it. God's not going to strip it from your hands, but he'll take it as soon as you give it to him. And then he will begin a transformation work from the inside out. The moment you give that to him, the moment that you turn your brothers, you know, your sisters in Christ, and you hand that thing over, and you look, I just got to be honest with you. Here's what I'm dealing with right now, and here's how I'm feeling about it. The moment that you do that, you can feel the freedom. You can feel the weight lift. No longer are you ashamed and condemned. No longer are you bound. You are set free. So even though nothing changes, everything changes. So woman of God, turn to another woman who has your best in mind and help them to set you free that way. And there's the testimony. And so, you know, kind of here in closing, well, I'm starting to close. You know, Proverbs 14:1 says, a wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands a foolish one tears her down. So when you're at your end, when you're feeling helpless, when you feel like you just have no other answers, no other way to make things work, and you just feel like throwing up your hands, it's exactly what you should do. In fact, you should have thrown them up probably, you know, a month ago. Just throw your hands up in surrender and in praise. Jesus, I can't do this anymore. I need you. That's it. Yeah, help. The simplest prayer on the face of the earth. You think Jesus is going to be like, whatever. You're on your own, sister. No. He loves that prayer. That simple, wholehearted prayer of help. He'll come rushing in. He will. He will come help save you. It's that surrender of your household, because that's what you're doing. You're surrendering your household into the hands of Jesus because you can't do it on your own anymore. And the endless task before you, you've surrendered to him, and that's when the life-changing transition happens from a foolish woman to a wise woman. That's how a foolish woman becomes wise. Just saying, help, help me, Jesus. I need you. I can't do this on my own. The overwhelming challenges before you, they begin to shrink down to nothing in comparison to the God whom you are focused on, the God that you are praising. Everything looks like it's falling. Everything that used to look like it's falling apart begins to look like it's falling into God's perfect blueprint for you, just falling into place. The screaming needs and troubles that are constantly, I mean, do you women ever just want to just hide away? You know, it just seems like it's never ending. Somebody needs something. Somebody needs something. Somebody needs something. Need, you know? All of a sudden, those things just start to be minimized and quieted by the word of God that gives you a promise to fulfill every single one. Realizing that it's not you that can fulfill that need. It's him. He's promised to fulfill every single one. And so instead of being wearing yourself out, pouring yourself out to every need, you can just be a conduit. To be like, God, your word says this, so I just need you to take care of this one. All of a sudden, you're just a conduit for the power of God. You're just a conduit for the presence of God into your household. And all of a sudden, you're not as weary and weak and helpless as you once were. All because you cried out to Jesus. You transition from foolish to wise. The worries that ensnared and choked you with anxiety yesterday, well, they're in the mighty hands of Jesus, whose yoke is easy and burden is light. You know, instead of trying to stand on that slippery, ever-changing, you know, platform of the circumstances of your life, you stand tall on the never-ending rock, the solid rock of Jesus Christ himself. You know, every single thing that you once were overwhelmed by, they're now in the hands of Jesus, who gives rest and peace to those he loves. It's a promise for you, woman of God. And so you've heard the acrostic poem of King Lemuel's mother found in Proverbs 31. You know, most all of you have heard it, you've read it. And perhaps that picture of perfection has been kind of unwelcomed in the past. You know, it's sort of a sore reminder of your failures and your downfalls, but today's a new day. Today is a new day, because according to his word, you're a new creation. His mercies are new. His love is new. Everything is new in the Lord. And so therefore, you, this morning, are a new creation in him. Brand new day. So from this moment on, this is no longer going to be a standard to be discouraged by. It's going to be an anthem to declare. It's no longer going to be a dream to just laugh at, like, yeah, like I could ever, you know, be that person. But it's a goal to be achieved. Why would God's word include it? You know, otherwise, it's no longer, you know, something to be laughed at, cheated. It's what God and His Word declares about you, and I mean you personally, woman of God, it is a promise of God. It is what the Word of God says you are. And I'm just going to start toward the end of it here in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 25 to 31. And every line there, it begins with a different Hebrew letter. And I know it's a pretty lofty goal, but it's a good one. But I love what the Word of God says here about this wise woman who builds her house on Christ the rock. It says in verse 25 of Proverbs 31, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. And I love that idea and that picture. Does the Word of God say that you are strong and dignified? No. Well, not really. It says that you're clothed in it. And I love it. The things that you are not and the things that you could never be, the Lord clothes you in them. He cloaks you with them. So people see you not as who you are, but who the Lord has declared you to be. Do you see how His Word covers you? His Word says that you are clothed with strength and dignity. So although you may be falling apart inside and so weak and so at your end, the Lord comes and covers you. And all of a sudden, you are strong and you are a dignified woman. You laugh. You laugh at what tomorrow brings. She can laugh at the days to come. Bring it on, right? You can laugh at them now because the Lord has covered you. In verse 26, it says, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Now, how many women at your wit's end have said some things that you wish you could put back in? But we all know, like the toothpaste, tube, there's no way to put those words back in once they've come out. Well, the Word of God says that you now speak faithful instruction. How awesome is that? It says in verse 27, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Right? Your household. Again, that wise woman who builds her house. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. If you're doing something and you're doing what the Lord has called you to do, then that's enough. That's sufficient. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. This is what the man says. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. There you go. You want to encourage your wife, that woman of God today? You surpass them all, hon. There's no one like you. Puff her up a little. It's okay. It's what the Word of God says. You can't go wrong that way. Speak prophetically, if you're a guy like Job, who is Job's wife. Just speak prophetically into her life. You speak life and she'll come around. Verse 30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Don't be afraid to brag on your wife, right? Don't be afraid to brag on your wife. Speak the things that build her up and encourage her to other people, right? It's so easy. How many people stand around and complain about things in your own household? God's called us to do something different, to speak only words that build up according to people's needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So, woman of God, this morning, I want to encourage you to be encouraged, to be courageous. You are more than enough. God has not given you your circumstances and your family accidentally. He didn't slip up and be like, oh, sorry, yeah, I was over here helping so-and-so. I didn't notice what came your way. It's not who our God is. He sovereignly has you in your circumstances for a divine purpose. But I want to encourage you, that purpose is not to destroy you, but to give you a hope, to give you a future, to prosper you in every way. Just like that man that was lame from birth, and everyone's asking Jesus, well, why did God let that happen? Why was he born that way? Jesus is like, so the glory of God can be revealed. And he healed him right there on the spot. You're not alone. Jesus is right there with you and for you. And he will come rushing in to your circumstances the moment you let go of them and invite him in. So this morning we have a guest worship leader here, not in person, Lauren Daigle. She's going to lead us in worship here this morning. Some really good stuff. If you're not familiar with her stuff, just praise God. You know, however you feel led. The altars here are open. Altars is a meeting place with God. It's just a place for you to go to lay those things down and to lean on him. Because he doesn't want you to struggle anymore. He doesn't want you to be discouraged and frustrated and fearful and just gripped and paralyzed. He wants you to be equipped and encouraged. He wants you to be strong and courageous and bold and brave to face tomorrow. He wants you to be able to stand tall and to laugh at tomorrow because of him. So this morning is a morning of transition from a foolish woman tearing down her household with her own hands to a wise woman who builds her household. And that difference is none other than relying and depending on Jesus Christ. Amen.